بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولا يصلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. وقال الله تعالى فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروني ولا تكفرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت ليتمم مكارم الأخلاق وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear and most respected friends, one of the most significant moments in Muslim history was the change of the direction, or should we say the establishment of the direction of the Qibla. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, the scholars write and observe that he would generally perform salah in such a way that he would stand with the Ka'batullah in front of him, and Al-Quds al-Sharif, Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, on the other side. It was possible in Makkah al-Mukarramah because of the geographic location of the city, that you stand in such a way that Makkah al-Mukarramah is in front, or the Ka'batullah is in front, and it faces in the direction of Al-Quds of Jerusalem. When he had come to Madinatul Munawwara, because of the location of the city between Makkah and Al-Quds, from the way a map is now observed and looked, it was no longer possible to stand in that direction any longer. So the concern for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the ummah was no doubt the direction of the Ka'batullah. The ulama mentioned that initially the Muslims faced towards the Baytullah for a while. Then the injunction and the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to face in the direction of Al-Quds al-Sharif, of Masjid al-Aqsa. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by way of establishing the direction of the Qibla, issued the instruction that, O Muslims, O believers, fawallu, change the direction, or face in the direction, shatr al-Masjid al-Haram, in the direction of the Ka'batullah. And this was final. To a point that even when we go for ziyarah in Madinatul Munawwara, we see even evidence of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum facing in two different directions, Masjid al-Qiblatayn, as it is famously called, that one direction above the door was where they were originally facing towards Masjid al-Aqsa, and then in the midst of that salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, it came through the injunction and instruction of somebody who performed his salah earlier in Madinatul Munawwara, but the direction of the salah concluded in the direction of Masjid al-Aqsa. It was a very significant moment for the Muslims for a number of reasons. Those who, alhamdulillah, came from Makkah, saw the deep attachment that this deen had fomented from the beginning towards Makkah al-Mukarram. But yet at the same time, it came as a test for many people. There were even reports of those who regarded themselves initially as Muslims that became upset with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was even reports of those who were hypocrites and munafiqeen who openly mentioned and said, what is wrong with this person? What is wrong with this deen? We are facing in one direction and now all of a sudden we have changed to another direction. And then there were those who were absolutely upset from the beginning, like the Yahud of Madinatul Munawwara, who felt that as long as these Muslims are facing in the direction of Al-Aqsa, of Quds, of Jerusalem, they some affiliation or affinity with us. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now directed that they face in the direction of Makkah al-Mukarramah, it now became an independent deen altogether, far-fetched from what they originally believe in, and this was now the original shape and adjective and the description of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was visible through the direction of the Qibla. Any instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes down has a similar effect. There are those whose ita'ah and obedience will be immediately tested. That are you willing to face in any direction because your Nabi says so? Because your deen says so? And those, alhamdulillah, are the cream of society, and those are the people who are on the sirat al-mustaqim. Then there will be those who will have things to say and things to harbor in their heart because of some ignorance.
But after a while, they will make tawbah from their ways, and they will come upon the path of the haq and the truth, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have guided them. Then there are those who would have issues, and those issues will cause their misguidance, and they will now no longer be willing to accept, and then there will be those who are the fourth quality of people who will always be antagonists. That no matter what you do, no matter what the deen says, whether it is facing in no direction for that matter, whether it is holding your hands above your head in salah, they will never ever be happy with the hukam and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The test of a believer is to be in the first category. In the category that accepts the teachings of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any question, and accepts deen without any preconditions, and is happy with the hukam of deen whether it appeals to their intellect, their logic, their psyche or not, but they are happy with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what deen has so decreed for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this occasion, which the ulama refer to as the tahwil-e qibla, the change of direction of the qibla, in Surah Baqarah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after speaking about the qibla and its subsequent establishment to Masjid al-Haram, speaks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kama arsalna, like how we sent amongst you a rasul, a messenger, minkum, from amongst you. This is a very important word in the Quran Kareem that doesn't just appear once. That minkum, that from you, is a very important description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that makes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very unique compared to all other Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam that are known in the Quran Kareem. Let's take Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. No doubt he was from the people, the Bani Israel. But minkum doesn't just indicate that he's from you biologically. He's from you from a geographical point of view. He's from your part of the world. Minkum means that every single stage and period of the man's life has been observed by you. And there is not a single occasion that arises for you to raise an objection against him. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam lived amongst his people. But there was a period of time wherein he was not there. There was a period of time wherein he left the land of Egypt. He had to go to Madian. He was in the custody and care of his father-in-law Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. It was a long extended period of his life. And alhamdulillah, in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that served him well, he received the tarbiyah and the training under Nabi of Allah, and he comes back to his people. But there remained that people, time frame wherein he was not there amongst them, amongst his community. It doesn't lessen his status in any way, but it does not give him the title as per compared to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every single moment of his life was an open book and visible in front of his people. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, a stage in his life he was in prison, a stage in his life wherein he was away from his family as a person who is an outsider in a community. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he's not called Isa of Nasira of Nazareth for nothing. When he now comes to his people in Al-Quds, they listen to him, then they reject him. He goes to another city for many years in the north, Nazareth or Nasira, as it is known in Arabic. There some of his Hawariyin listen to him, but those who knew him as a child, as a young man, are not in his company at least for a number of years until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so raises him. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unique in the sense that when it comes to his friends, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, remember Rasulullah's friends are not like the friends we have. They are confidants, they are friends, they interact with him, but do not think of it as a bosom friend as the average person would have. Think of it as a social acquaintance. That person who he acquainted with from the time of his childhood remains the same person who observes him in hijrah, pre-hijrah, post-hijrah, right up until the end of his temporary stay in this world, it remains the same network. Hence, minkum. From amongst you in a unique way that could never ever be observed ever before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens this discussion of the rank and the position of the Rasul and the men and the Nabi minkum. Kama arsalna, like how we sent a Nabi from you. What does this Nabi do for you? He recites the book for you. Wa yu'allimukum, and he teaches you what you did not know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, la'allakum tahtad, so that you may be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this, because I gave you identity in your deen, Qibla was the prime example. Because I gave you a mentor like no other, minkum, he's from you. Because of all these things, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, you remember me because of the ni'mah, the bounty that you could have never ever possibly have got in any department or in any space of time, and I in turn will remember you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hinges your dhikr of him, your remembrance of him, and your attachment to his lofty name on the conditions that came before. Sort of like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introducing to us or explaining to us in a method that we understand. As human beings, we understand what is known as a transaction, a trade, a trade-off. That I do something for you simply because you have done something for me. That's the way human beings understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addressing the ummah, uses those very same principles in the Quran Kareem. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attach a number to the reward that you will get in for making ibadah in Laylatul Qadr? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, khayrun min alfi shahr, better than 1,000 months? It is for a human being to quantify. It is for a human being to understand that I understand numbers, I understand months and weeks and years, and all these things belong to my understanding. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fine, I will explain to you as per the very method and the way that you understand things is better than 1,000 months. Now I say, Allah Ta'ala said better than, could be more, but in order for you to get a ballpark figure, khayrun min alfi shahr, better than 1,000 months. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the injunction to remember him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first recounts the favors. That I did this for you. I sent a Nabi unto you. I gave you deen that gave you identity. And I gave you such a lifestyle so that you may be guided. Compared to all the other lifestyles that there were out there and available for you that you could have possibly followed. فَذْكُرُونِي, you remember me and I will remember you. And then don't just remember me, also be grateful unto me so that you may remain upon guidance. Two things. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you express shukr and gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon you. In this entire discussion, a vast majority of this discussion is devoted to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his position amongst you. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says amongst you, the addressee is not only the Muslim of this ummah, but it is also the non and disbeliever of this ummah as well, the rejecter of this ummah, that he represents a mercy unto you in this world, in this dunya as well, because your qiyamah will not be able to begin to start until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes that sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa yuftahu alayhi, and it is opened upon him such praises and sana which was never opened upon anybody before. It's an expression of what will happen before Qiyamah. When Qiyamah takes place, or the day, or the people are summoned to what is known as the Maidan, or the plain of Qiyamah. Where it'll be, when it'll be, we leave it in the ilm and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we do know, that it will happen because it is the promise of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We rest upon that. When it's going to take place, there are many people who, alhamdulillah, devote a lot of time to asking questions. When, why, how it's going to happen. And not all of those questions are negative. They were even among Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu is a prime example. When will Qiyamah take place? Ma'ashratwa. What are its signs? And even to a point that Rasulullah would tell him, go and reflect of the Kitabullah. Look at the book of Allah. I do not know, but here are the signs. Anyway, when it happens, it happens. But when it does happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect people from the graves on His amr and His command. People will come to that maidan and they will be in an utter stage of bewilderment. Sort of like this, people have come to a big function, but you don't know where to go. There's no signs. There's no indication. There is no handbook. There is nobody to guide you. There is no usher at the door. You are just, and you and the tens of thousands of people with you are in a state of bewilderment and confusion. And then a committee is formed amongst the righteous of people who will now decide amongst themselves that people cannot remain in the state of bewilderment forever. Let's form a committee. Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or go to somebody to at least begin the proceedings of the day of Qiyamah. Whoever is going to Jannah will go, whoever is going to Jahannam will go. That's an afterthought, but at least it will save people from this insufferable position of confusion and running around right and left and not knowing what to do. So they will now select a committee amongst the righteous people. But even the people who are righteous on that day of Qiyamah, will be too scared to go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and request anything. They will approach Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. Ya Adam, anta abu nas. That, oh Adam, you are the father of people. You are this and you are that and you are so lofty in the ranks of Allah. You go and you intercede on our behalf to begin the day of Qiyamah. What does Adam alayhi salatu wa salam respond by saying? That my Rabb is so angered today. Lam yaghdab. He has never become angered like this year ever before. You go to Nuh. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam will give his own reasons and pass them on to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And from Ibrahim alayhi salam, they will go to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who will recount his own concerns that he has. And then they will go on to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will finally direct them to Rahmatan lil Alameen, the mercy of both worlds, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And they will approach Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that, O Messenger of Allah, that you are Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. And your name encompasses all the qualities of the people who are before you. If this Nabi was the friend of Allah, then Khalil, or the quality of friendship, is incorporated inside Habib already. If Musa was the person who spoke to Allah, hence Kalimullah, you spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of the Mi'raj without any intervention and without any Jibreel in between. You are also the Kalimullah. If Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the ruh of Allah and was blown into his mother's womb directly through the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you too have come through the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your mission is connected through the amr and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. You go to Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sajda. وَيُفْتَحُ عَلَيْهِ. And he mentions, such words of praise will be opened up upon me. That was never ever opened up upon anybody before. No hamd and thana has ever been recited on that particular occasion. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will receive the announcement from Allah. That, O my beloved, irfa' ra'asak, that raise your head. Sal tu'ta, ask, and whatever you are asking will be granted. Ishfa tushaffa, intercede, and whoever you intercede of regarding, depending upon the level and the permission of your intercession, it will be granted by you. Hence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in the akhirah, even in the hereafter, his enemies of this world require him. in order to find direction, what is my position on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, for it will not begin until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes and gives that command, that O Messenger of Allah, raise your head and start on the day of Qiyamah in that particular way. You know, my respected friends, we are ending a season or a few weeks wherein alhamdulillah many masajid, many organizations across the world have taken it upon themselves, and rightfully so, to discuss the seerah, surah and honor of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is absolutely vital, whether it is the publication of any publication or anything for that matter. It is a topic that is worthy of discussion every single day. And what is more worthy of discussion is the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our personal application. There's a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem that He gives directly to His Nabi, that He will save you from the people. Ya'simuk, that He will save you, minan nas, from the people. That promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come whether all of us are living or we deceased. It will come whether we attempt anything or not, we use our voices or our writings or not, which is virtuous for us, which is good for us. But whether we have existed or not, it is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a situation will be created, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to preserve the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see it as a form of evidence in each and every single day that we live. A few years back, I was invited to perform Jummah in a town called Lavazella. Lavezella, 150 kilometers south of a place called Venice in Italy. Sati of mine, a person who qualified together, Mawla Mustaqim from Bangladesh, living there for many years, born in Italy, originally parents from Bangladesh, married to an Italian. He and Appa are doing a fine job in the masjid that they are from. Alhamdulillah. And before you go to any place, especially a place that's a bit far away, and you know, they don't have a network of looking after the visitor that comes, taking you here, keeping you entertained. They don't have children to keep, you know, talking to you the entire day. Husband and wife are busy, because in those countries, everybody's quite busy with their, you know, with their lives. You always try and look that, you know, what are ways I can occupy myself so I'm not in these people's face. I'm going to be there for 2 days. I can't be sitting in their lounge while they go to madrasa and teach. They'll be thinking, shame, man, I got a guest here, came all the way. Now, well, how are we going to keep him occupied? What must we do? I mean, we can't now give him a book to read. How much is he going to read about this place? He can't even speak the language of the place. So you do a little bit of research. You know, what can I go and see here? Is there some park, some museum, some library that I can now go and visit? That place holds the tomb of a person who historically is known as Dante. Right? Dante Alighieri is his name. He lived in the 13th century and the 14th century as well. After the Muslims were engaged in the Christian world in what is known as the Crusades. And he was like the spokesman for the Crusades. He was a writer, he was a painter, he was a poet. Everything that he wrote was about the political situation of that day. And he wrote a very famous poem, which some of you might have done back in the day as your set book in matric or grade 11 for that matter, known as the Inferno, wherein he describes his understanding of a Jahannam. It's his set work. It's his work that he did in Italian, in Latin at that point in time. And in there he writes, and he devotes a chapter to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously, as you can understand, because he is now from the opposite side of the Crusades, he doesn't put them in Jannah, he puts them in Jahannam. That's his understanding, and that's the way he operated back in the day. He's buried about 150 meters away from this big masjid here right in Lavazella. And that's now features right on top. You go to this town, you must visit his tomb. That's what Google or anything will tell you to keep yourself occupied. It happened to be Juma. And everybody knows who this fellow is and what he wrote against Deen and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and the honor of Rasulullah SAW many, many years ago. This is now the 13th and 14th century, so 600 plus years ago. You know who gave him the best answer? The musallis of the masjid, that on that Yawmul Jummah, the masjid is so packed that the cops outside have to now block out street after street until the musallis go past the grave and the tomb of the very same fellow who 700 years ago writes against deen. That's his answer. His answer was never a poet who wrote another poem. His answer was never a person who took out another media article. His answer was never even the sword. No soldier came to him. He died of natural causes, whatever the case may be, as an old man. But his answer was given by the musallis, who 600 years after he has died, amongst them people of the town who reverted to Islam, amongst them people who are married to Muslims and have reverted to Islam, but people of Lavazella, who knows who lived there, whose ancestors lived there during his time, Allah Ta'ala knows best. But that was the best answer to him. The best answer to any negative publicity is where a believer in his own right adopts the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The outward sunnah and the inward sunnah. Learn to talk like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn to swallow your anger. Kadhimul ghayz, the person who swallows their anger. Learn to treat people in your inner circle, whether they work for you, whether they're your own wife or children, in a way that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was considered to treat them, and the best of character. Bu'istu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq, as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I have been sent to perfect character. And when a person does so, it is the greatest answer to any homophobe or Islamophobe or anybody for that matter who may ever raise their head centuries ago, in the future, or even today. That where a mu'min is strong upon his deen, that when he walks, he reminds people of the greatness of Allah. When he walks, he is considered to be a reflection of the sunnah of his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every action that he does. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide those people, and if he guides, hidayat and guidance is not meant for them. The workings of the world is such. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that batil and falsehood is nothing but foam on top of the ocean. We seem it and we consider it to be a lot, but let the wind blow. Let the sea become calm once again. Every single one of that foam or every single item of that muck will be blown away. And what is the haq? The water at the bottom in that description will now become clear for everybody to follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.